Okay, we are on Daf Kuf Chaf Amun Aleph at the Mishnah. So the Mishnah now is going to talk about different ways of identifying a person who has passed away. It's actually really important halachos in terms of certain scenarios where you have no choice but to identify a person based on other things. So it says in the Mishnah as follows: Eimi Idin Ella Al Partzuf Panim. When we give testimony, we're going to say, right, the whole point of giving this edus is that the person died. Well, how do you know? Right, so you have to give testimony that you saw the person's face with their nose. Okay? Afa pi sheyesh simanim begufo ubekelov. And that's true, even though the person has simanim, there's something about their body or about their items, that there were things they're wearing, things they have on their person that would otherwise give it away who they are. You can't give the testimony. It doesn't work unless the person you saw the person's face and you saw their nose. And me'idin el, just interesting to point out that even Tosus already points out that that's not always true. That there can be times that for whatever reason, you can only identify their face. But if there's other things, we're going to talk about in a second, if their whole body's intact, there can be other parts of the body that can give us information also. But at this point, the mission is certainly focusing a lot on the face and the nose, etc. Right? You can't test when the person died unless you actually saw them die. So you can't give testimony that the person's dead unless they're actually dead, even if you saw that they were, literally means like chopped up, or they were, hanging, or they were, an animal was literally eating them. The point being that the fact that the person looks like they're pretty likely, right, to die, you can't give testimony that they've died unless they actually die. And you can only testify up to 3 days after death. Why 3 days? So Rashi says that Gimel Yamim, look at Rashi on the right side. If you didn't see them until 3 days afterwards, right? Possible that after 3 days, that the body starts to decompose to the place to the extent that you won't really be able to identify the person. He says, well, not so fast. Let's not give, exact times. It could be a very hot place where it takes even less time for the body to decompose. It could be a very cold place where it takes more time. So we're not going to say it has to be, 3 days. He wasn't excited about giving you a timetable. Fine. Okay, so let's see what the Gemara has to say. Tan Rabbanan. Padachas v'lo parts of panim v'lo padachas. Me'idin ad sheyuhu shneihem imachotam. So it's not just the face per se, but it's the forehead with the parts of panim, like the not saying exactly the cheeks, but the face, the structure, and the nose. You need all three. You need both of those together with the nose to really have a sense of what the person looked like. Amar Abaye v'Tamer of Kahana, my cross. Rabbi says, in some say of Kahana said, what's the pasuk that teaches me this? Hakaris Penehem Ansabam. Pasuk says in Yeshayahu that it was the recognition of the face, right? That gives you a sense of identity of knowing who the person is. Abba Bar Masa to who Abba Bar Menume, Abba Bar Masa, who is also known as Abba Bar Menume, Havimaskebe de Beresh Galusa Zuza. He owed money to the children of the Reish Galusa. Okay, so what did he do? Aisa Kira Davak Bevilasa Davak Vapuse. So what did he do? He took wax and he put it like on a cloth and he put it on his face. Chalaf Kamahu Vlobish Bashkaruha. And he walked by these people and they didn't know who he was. Meaning, by hiding, right, by disguising his forehead, right, that was the way that he was able to disguise himself. Why is that important? Because it shows the same idea that if a person, if a person's forehead looks different, it's hard to actually know who they are. We don't think about the forehead as being such an identifying feature of a person, but if you pay attention to it more, you realize that you really do notice more by a person's forehead, their nose, etc., what they look like. So there's just, again, another example of the forehead being part of the whole facial structure that, again, allows a person to be identified. Yes, you're going to ask a question. Like, today we have dental records. And, yeah, so the way we use modern technology is ways of we're going to see Simonim in a second, will be, it is something that we take into account. As we move along, we'll see why in a second. So Gemara had said, the mission said, Alpha Bishesh Simonim. And this is all true. You have to see the forehead, the nose, and the face, even though there are Simonim. Gemara says, really? Remember the Simonim Lav Daraisa? Right? What do you mean? You mean to tell me that Simonim don't work? Mi Daraisa from a Torah level that Simonim don't work? That's not true. Because we have, where's the other area of Halacha where Simonim matter? Hashavas Aveda. Right? When a person loses an object, right? So that's why the problem is, a person loses cash, it's very hard to return it with Simonim. Why? Because every unless the person would know the serial number of their bills, which nobody knows, right? So there's not a lot of Simonim on it, right? But something that's unique and has a unique simon, we use it all the time to return objects, and for other reasons also. Ramini, I'll attack and tell you why it's not correct. Matsu Kasha, this Gemara is talking about a case of a person who was supposed to deliver a get for a specific woman. Right? Every get has to be written l'shem. The man, the shame, the isha, it's very specific, and the guy is coming to deliver the get. And what happens? He lost it. And then what happens? Matzo kosher bekis, uba arniki, uba tabas. He had lost the get, now he finds it, and it's connected to his pocket, to his wallet, or to his signet ring. Osha nimsa bein kalef, or he finds it, in his amongst his other items, right, that belong to him. Afil lizman ruba kasher, even if it's a long time later, it's still kasher. Why? Because the fact that he found it amongst his items, right, where, what else happened, right? Some other random get got connected somehow to your wallet. It's very unlikely. If it's your wallet and you're the one who's bringing it, it's a pretty good sign that it's the same get. Again, you don't know for sure. You know because of the simonim, the things that are connected to it. So it seems like we do rely on simonim. So I'm rabbi lo kasha. No, it's no problem. It's a machlokas, Elazar ben Mahavai and the Rabbanan. Why? The sign it says it's taught in the Brisa. Ein me'idin ala shuma. You're not allowed to. The Brisa says you don't give testimony based on a shuma. It means like a mole, right? Some type of Lazar Rashi says it's a ruha, but it's the Lazar Rashi translates as yabelas, right? It's like some type of scab, some type of. It's probably not a scab like I've said. That's very fleeting. But something that's some type of mark on the body that is permanent. So you can't give testimony on a shuma. Rabbi Elazar ben Mahavai Omer Mi'idin. No, you can. If you have the person has a very unique mole, or something identifying mark on their body, you could give testimony based on that. Right? I saw that very identifying mark, and I know it's them. So my Allah b'halakam. Let's either arguing about this. The Mara Savi Simanu Daraisa, Umara Savi Simanu Darabanan. I mean, one holds Simanu Daraisa, one holds no. They're not really Daraisa. They're only Darabanan. So the Gemara says, no, that's okay. Amar Rava, the Kule Amat Simanim Daraisa. Everybody agrees that Simanim are Daraisa. So Hacha, so what's going on here? Hacha Veshuma Mitsuya Beben Gilo. They're arguing about a Shuma that can be found with a Ben Gilo. Ben Gilo means, Rashi says, look at Rashi. Ben Gilo, on the right side, Shinolad Beperek Echad Uba Mazel Echad. Right? Ben Gilo does not. It's not a person who has the same birthday as two people, not the same age. Right? So, but they're born in the same constellation. Right, they're born in the same, general time frame as each other. Not because they're the same age; it could be years apart. Right, but Ben Gilo just means that they're born in the same, astrological sign. So, so what? Meaning, the concern is that certain people in the same have same mazel have the same types of, marks on their body. Okay. So Marsava Shuva Mitsuba Bengilo, Marsava Emitsuba Bengilo, meaning the machlokas. Do we assume that people, that these types of moles or marks can come on certain, the same type of person? We're giving the example of Bengilo, but it could be any part, right? There are certain things that are much more common, and it's not necessarily so that such an identifying mark. Vikidam, right? Halcha Bashuma Hasulishtanos Lachamisa, Kamifiki. Marsava Sulishtanos Lachamisa, Marsava Enasulishtanos Lachamisa. Meaning they're arguing about a type of mark on the body that can change. Right, that can change after the person dies. So one holds that they can change after death. If they can change after death, obviously they're not a helpful identifying feature. If they don't change after death, then they can't be a helpful identifying feature. You could the Amrei, or others say no. Amar Rava Dekuli Amu Simanim Darabanan. Really, everybody agrees that Simanim are Darabanan. Okay, Bahacha Beshuma Simen Muvak Kamefugi. The argument is a Shuma a Simen Muvak, right? Something that is so it's a unique thing that can really make that we can really understand who the person is based on, right? Other language of Mufak, oftentimes Talmud Mufak, right? Someone who's very close to that rabbi, has a unique relationship, right? So Siman Mufak comes to the Mar Savar Siman Mufak, or Mar Savar Lo Mar Savar Lo Siman Mufak. Others hold no, right? The machlokes is whether it's a Siman Mufak or not, right? And look at Rashi points out on the top left, Siman Mufaku va'af agav de Siman in derabanan a Siman ki hai samchinan afilu a isa deraisa. Right, meaning there can be scenarios, and this is actually a fascinating concept, that even though even if you see the simanim derabanan, that you could still make use of them for a deraisa scenario, like ish is ish, for example. Right, the problem here is, can she get me married or not? And even if you assume it's simanim derabanan, if it's a simen mufak, so even though simanim in general are only derabanan, yeah, but at times it could be applied even in a scenario that is deraisa. I heard Rabbi Rasmus mention once, you have the same thing by like kinyanim, right? For example, to a kinyan chalipin, right? I give you my, we were selling chametz, and you pick up my watch, right? So that's really kinyan chalipin, the kinyan derabanan. But we assume that even though it's the concept itself is with only derabanan, it can enact, kinyanim on a deraisa level. Which is an interesting concept, but explain why more about that is. But
when they're talking Siman Mufak, is that like what you were saying before about like dental records or fingerprints?
Oh, right, right. The question is it Shuma Siman Mufak? But yes, the point being, if there was some type of Siman Mufak,
right. Well, I think they're talking about, let's say, scars or whatever.
Right.
But in general, I mean, if you had a charred body, you had fingerprints.
And you can tell me it's good till 98% or whatever it is, right? So that's exactly correct. It would seem like that is correct, yes. Mm. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara says, but wait a second. Ulahach lishna, the Amar Rav, Siman and Daraisa. Right. So we mentioned one of the possibilities was that Rava said, we had three possibilities what Rava meant here, right? But one is that Rava meant that Siman and Daraisa. Okay. So so if that's true, Ulahach lishna, the Amar Rava, Siman and Daraisa, Hakatani af apishiyesh Simanim begufo bekelav. So, but wait a second. If you assume Siman and Daraisa. Right, so I mean, they play a very important role here in terms of identifying objects. Right, it's lost objects or whatever it's going to be. So, what would the mission mean when it said they have to see the face and the nose and the padachas, in the forehead, even if you have simanim on his body and his kelim? Why they work? So, we're going to have to explain that the simanim are not really such great simanim. Right. So, what's the answer? So, answer the Gemara: Gufo de aruch. Right. What was the simen baguf? It was that they said he's tall. Right? So tall is not a good simon. Why? It's not specific enough, right? Right? The aruch, the good, so he's tall or short. Kalev, the chashina and she'ila. When it comes to Kalev, why is it? Because even though they are specific, well, maybe he borrowed them. Right? Maybe he's wearing someone else's clothing. Maybe he's using someone else's watch, whatever, right? So, okay. But I get it when it comes to the body, right? He's tall, that's not going to help us. Good. But if you're really telling me that we're concerned about that people are borrowing someone else's objects, right? Again, what's the likelihood of that, right? He's driving someone's car, right? People are assassinated by being blown up in their car, right? What's the chance they're driving someone else's car, right? You assume that they're driving their own car, right? So there's a rule in general when it comes to I want to know if that animal belongs to somebody else, who it belongs to. So you look at the saddle, right? Is the saddle of the owner, right? Or whose saddle is it? The saddle is clearly belongs to X person. So presumably this donkey belongs to X person, right? But if we say chashin l'sheila, it might be he's using someone else's donkey, someone else has borrowed my saddle to use on their donkey. Right, so how could that be? And we know it's true that we do return donkeys based on the saddle that's being used, but that's being used on it. So, but whatever you know, you told me there's a ruach. I should l'sheila. So, answer the Gemara: Lo shaili inish uchva demaskiv leilachamra. Because everybody knows that when it comes to donkeys, you don't borrow a saddle because the saddle has to be very specific, has to fit very specifically. Otherwise, it hurts the animal and it damages the animal. So that's the reason why we use that example, right, of a saddle on a donkey is because again. It's the type of thing that doesn't get borrowed. Okay. Matzo kasher bekis uba arniki uba tabaz heichim adjinin. Same question. We had the question about the get. Right? The get that we found tied up with you know, the person's wallet or their signet ring, etc. So again, same thing. Maybe how can you you know, return it based on that? How could you give it to the woman, assuming that's really the right one for her, based on these items? Maybe they were borrowed. So answer the Gemara: Tabas Chayish Lizyufe. Person does not give a signet ring to somebody else because the signet ring was like their signature, right? It's the way you're not going to give it to somebody else. They could forge your name. Or you would never do that. You would never hand it to somebody else. Kis for arniki minachshe inshe velo mushle. I didn't know this. Apparently, people are careful not to give away their wallet. They don't want people to pick up their good mazel and have as much money as they have. So it was something someone wouldn't do. You wouldn't lend your wallet. I mean, to be honest, today we also wouldn't lend it. Who'd ever lend their wallet to somebody, right? You don't really do that anyways. But the point being, if it's an item that is generally not lent, so then we're not chashin the sheila. If it's something that's very commonly given out, presumably, then it's something we would be chashin the sheila. Okay. V'yivayis ema keilav b'chiyure v'sumke. Or another answer is, when we talked about kelim, again, it was equally poor. Example, you know, a simon, like it was a red shirt, or he was wearing black pants. And these are not helpful simonim because too many people have the same thing. That's not going to be helpful. So the point being, at least at this point in the Gemara, it sounds like when we say alphabet there simonim, you know, we have to rely on the face and the nose and the forehead. It sounds already clearly that's not totally true. It means if the simonim are not really good simonim. All right, so you could ask a question. Okay, so what does Mishra really mean? Why tell me about simanim that are no good? Okay, so maybe that's just to drive home the point that the simanim have to be really, really significant simanim, and otherwise the only other way to deal with this is with the face, you know, the forehead, the nose, and the face. But what you see clearly from the Gemara is that real simanim mufakim that you could really be identifying of a person would really help, especially if they're things that people don't typically borrow from other people, etc. Okay. Okay, the next thing the Gemara mentioned was afila ra'uhu meguyad v'chule, right? If you see the person already with a mortal wound, basically, where you see them already wounded so badly that they would die from that, and nevertheless, you can't give testimony that they died because you don't assume that they died, right? You have to actually see them die. So Gemara says, lemeimba de meguyad chai? You want to tell me that someone who's meguyad, someone who's already, you know, mortally injured, is considered alive? Or a mini? Adam eino mitame actually teitze nafsho, afila maguyad vafila goses temuya afila goses. So the Braisa tells us that a person, it doesn't create tuma, right? Tuma's ohel, right? It does a person who's at a place where they're really about to die, right? They are not considered dead until they actually die, right? Until they, you know. The funny thing is that the Gemara itself would have a big machlokas. What does that mean? You stop breathing, your heart stops beating. Fine, that's a machlokas also. But the bottom, whatever definition of death is, till they actually die. But the point being, not if they are meguyad, right? They have this terrible wound, or they are goses, right? A person who's like in the throes of death, right? So they're not considered dead. They're not metame, sorry, until they actually die. So that's Gemara. Timuye lo metame, hamichaya lo chaye. Right? But maybe you say, what's the whole point of that verse? It's coming to teach me that. Yeah, they're not metame yet. They're not metame, you know, the people who are standing under the same roof with them don't become tame, but they're not alive, right? It's specifically they didn't tuma. I mean, maybe it means that a person who's agreed is really considered like they're dead. So I'm Rabbi Lokasha. No. Ha Rishim and Lazar, ha Rabbanim. It's a machlokes between Rishim and Lazar and Rabbanim. Why? Desanya me'idin ala maguyar ve'imu me'idin ala tzaluf. Okay, because the Braisa says you can give testimony on a person that is, you know, been cut up in that way, they're wounded, but you can't give testimony to someone who is saluf, right, who's being hanged. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, how do they translate the word saluf? Hung, right, yeah. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, af al ha-maguyad ein me'idin. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, no, even on that person who's been maguyad, you can't give testimony. Because what could you do? If a person has a terrible wound, you could solder it, right? And there is a possibility of that person being stopping the bleeding and being able to live. Okay. So it's a machalgas, right? Whether you consider someone who's maguyad as, again, at this point is that maguyad is a death sentence or not? Right? The fact that the person is maguyad, does that mean that there's nothing to do? Or no, there's something that could happen and could preserve their life, in which case you can't attest when they died because you didn't actually see them die. Okay. But wait a second. You want to hold, say this, that this, that this, uh, you know, this is like with Shimon and Lazar, meaning basically arguing that our Mishnah, right, said, I feel a ruah muguyad, you can't give testimony. Why? Because muguyad, you know, could at some point, you know, survive. So the Beit Midrash are making our Mishnah like with Shimon and Lazar. Really? How can you do that? But how could Tani Seifa? But the Seifa of our the Seifa says tells the following. We're going to see it in the next daf. Maisa ba'asya ba'echad shilshaluhu layam. They were dropping. They were like, you know, he went into the ocean. Velo also biyadim, and they couldn't grab him ella raglo. So imagine they were trying to get the guy back, and they pull out. His body goes in. His leg comes off. If he lost from the knee up, meaning so much of his leg, it was what came off, then she can get married. I mean, we can assume that he died. Right? He wasn't able to swim out. He such a wound like that, we assume the person died. But if it's from below the knee, lo tinase, right? You can't get married because it's really possible the person was able to survive an injury like that. Okay, so but if that's true, again, if that's true, this mission, which is the Seifa, you know, the next mission, we have our mission split up, right? It's just the end of the same conversation. Clearly says that if it's a big enough wound, we assume the person died and the wife can remarry. Rishon Malazar said, "What do you mean? You can always solder it. You can always survive." So it says, "Gemara, shiny maya de marzu maka." No, but water is different. Once it's in water, the water makes it even worse. The whole point was his whole argument was that you could solder it. And this person fell into water, so that there's nothing to talk about. There's no chance they're going to survive. Okay, so says Gemara, "Bahama Rabba Barachana Lididi Chazili Ahu Taya Deshakol Safsira V'Gadi Legam." I saw a certain person who had a camel, and he got injured. Right, if Sikse Lenaruse, and he didn't stop screaming until he died. Meaning, the moment like he got this mortal wound on his leg, and the moment that happened, boom, he died right away. Right, so it seems like the person can't ever survive. So Rabbi, ahi chisha, that was a weak donkey, a weak camel. Okay, ahi chisha havya. So Rava Amar besakim lubenes v'dibriyako. So what we're talking about? We're talking about that they used a hot knife when the cut was made, and, you know, on the animal, and that's why it died so fast. But otherwise, it is true that there's a possibility of the person being able to survive it, and that's why. You know, that could be, you know, so meaning our, it is possible to argue that our Mishnah is like the Shita of Shimon Elazar, which is that there can be certain wounds that are so bad that the person can't survive, but certain wounds that are you know, in certain scenarios, but certain wounds that even if they're very bad, the person could still survive. And that's the reason we say a really, really bad wound, a really horrible injury does not put us in a situation where we can give, again, testimony that the person has died, right? So that's very significant to do such a thing based on something that, you know, has the possibility that the person could survive. Okay, our mission then talked about chaya ochela. So you see, the animal is literally eating the person. So Amr Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, lo shanu el mimakom she'ein nafshe yotze. Right, Shmuel says that's only if, but the area that's being torn apart, chalila, is an area where the body, right, that's not a place where the neshama will leave from. Right, so if it's his chest, his neck, is etc. Rav mimakom she'nafshe yotze mi'idim. If it's mamish in a place where it's obvious that the person is, like, you know, basically being killed already. So then we can still give testimony based on that place. So from Yehuda ben Shmuel, Shacha bo Shnayim, or Rov Shnayim, Ubarach Me'idin. Right, so the same thing, that, right, that if a person would have their Kanan Veshes, right, their one pipe and their food pipe, they've been shechted already, basically, or most of them, and then he ran away, right, the person already didn't see them actually die, you can assume they died. They're bleeding from their neck, it's obvious that they've they're basically dead already, right? Gemara says, "Ini, really? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shacha bo Shnayim, Arov Shnayim, Veramaz, Va'amar Kisru Gedli Ishti, Harelu Yichtev Levisnu." Let's say a person that happened to them, they're about to die, and they make it clear to you, write a get fast to my wife, right? You can still give the get. You can write the get and give it, right? So what do you mean? I thought the person was considered dead. The answer is no. It's Chayhu V'Sofel Namas. He's still alive right now. The question is, can I give testimony? He's alive at this moment to be able to give the tzivoy to write the get. But the point being that but can I testify that he for sure died over the next number of minutes or hour or whatever? The answer is yes. It's two different dinim. Okay, so Elamei Atzik, if that's true, Yehe Golal Yado. If that's true, then a person who does that, right, to somebody else should have to go into Golah, should have to go to your Miklat. Alamatanya, Shachat, Shnaim, Rov Shnaim, Harizeinu Golah. But the halacha is that if a person does it to somebody else, right, by accident, they don't go to Golos. What do you mean? I thought they're basically dead. So Gemara says, no. Ha'itmar lo am rav hoshia shaya chashina shema haruach bilbuso inami shema ihu kirev misaso. So no, the reason is because in those scenarios, yeah, the person was basically made into a person who's about to die. But what was the final thing that caused him to die? It's a big conversation in other areas of Shas. Right, what was the final thing that made them die? What, was it the act of the person cutting their neck? Or was it maybe the wind then, you know, got to them? Or maybe the person was you know, rolling around in pain and that actually made them die faster. So the final actual thing that killed them wasn't the other person, it was himself. Okay, so my benai, who cares? What's the difference? The shachtei bebesa, the shisha uparchas. If he killed him in a marble house, right? You rolled around, so then we know it wasn't the wind. There's no wind there, but it was him rolling around. Inami the shachtei bebara v'lo parchas. Or maybe if he killed him outside and he didn't roll around, that would be the wind. But the bottom line is there are other things that can cause a person to die. But that's not our question. Our question is, can I give testimony that the person for sure died later? And the answer is, yeah, when it's that significant, when what you're seeing happening is so obvious that no person could survive it, the fact that you don't see them dead doesn't matter. The fact that, you know, if it's something you know would cause them to die immediately afterwards, that would be enough to testify that they had indeed died. Okay.